Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Larry Muncy,
and I play Edna.
And also
Toby Orenstein, owner of Toby's Dinner Theater.
And we're here to talk about Hairspray, the musical, coming to Toby's on June 16th and lasting all summer through September. So you have plenty of time to see it, but go as soon as you can, because I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
It is.
Before we dive into Hairspray itself, catch our listeners up on Toby's, because I know a lot of people have gone out there for a show. God, I grew up in Frederick, and I think we went on like a field trip back in middle school or something. But it used to be two locations, right? It was Columbia and Baltimore. Now it's just
Columbia. Up on your Toby's.
Toby's.
Yes.
Tell us where exactly it is.
Columbia,
and what
Maryland,
makes it so special.
Right behind Meriwether Post, right opposite the library and the mall. And we've been there since 79. 1979 is when we opened.
How long have you been there with them?
Since 1979.
Since the inception.
It. Yes.
You are the Toby?
I am the Toby. I'm still there, still kicking. Still having a great time.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell. You guys missed it, but they're cracking jokes and pressing buttons in here. They're hilarious. What's the story behind naming it after you? Did you name it after yourself?
Or no, I wanted to call it Symphony Woods Dinner Theater, but the original investors came from Virginia, and they came down to visit the area. And wherever we went, I have a nonprofit school, a theater school, and wherever we went, people going, hi, Toby, how you doing, blah, blah. And they said, this is ridiculous. We have to name it Toby's. And so that's what happened.
I guess if enough people are saying it conversationally to each other, you going up, what was that place? I don't know, it's Toby's. You might as well name it Toby's.
Might as well.
So why, final thing before we go into Hairspray, why is it such an awesome place to go see a show?
A, you don't have to worry about parking. You have it right there.
Perfect.
B, we have a delicious buffet. I mean, it's not schlock. It's good stuff mm-hmm. with an open bar. And then we do quality shows.
So do you go to the buffet before the show starts
before
or intermission,
starts,
or how does that work?
Okay. Before the show starts. You get in there around 6 o'clock. You have your dinner. You have a drink. You get to meet your actor waiter. Then you see a wonderful show. We are in the round, and there's nothing like the round. The other theater we had was a regular proscenium, and my customers are saying to me constantly, if you ever build another theater, it's got to be in the round. Because it gives you a sense of being right there and feeling the emotions of what's going on stage.
I love the round. I know Signature has a round. Arena Stage has a round. It's just
around and around.
Around and around. So, Larry, what's it like acting in that round? You know, you have all these people with their food.
No, they're finished with their food.
They're
tables
finished by the
clean,
time.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so you serve them food, right? And then what's sort of that connection with a customer that you've just served food and now they're clapping for you on stage?
Well, what's great about it is that we do actually get to spend time with our guests. I don't like to call them customers. They're more of our guests.
Right.
And
it's
they
more
become
than clientele.
Absolutely.
They're our friends.
And they kind of become
like here.
Family. You know, it's amazing the repeat, you know, clientele that comes in right. because they do become family. They spend special occasions with us and everything. And we do get to know them on a personal level. And even though we don't know all of their names, but they're dear to our hearts because they really do care for us as individuals. So we spend the time during the dinner hour. There's about a half hour. We go back, get ready for the show. And then that whole theater turns over from the restaurant to the theater. And it just, it's like your mom and dad being out there every night. You know, your tables, you get to know them. And it's really a wonderful feeling. And it gives you a special electricity to do that show that night because you're doing it for someone. It's just not a blank audience. Right. You're doing it for people you know.
Like when you were a kid and you put on a show for mom and dad. Although I'm sure that you guys can sing better than mom and dad.
Depends on who your mom and dad were.
That's true. If you have really talented mom and dad, that's very true. How either of you guys can take this one. Is it mostly people from the Columbia area? Or what's like the farthest that you've heard people say, you know, as you're serving
New York,
them?
Pennsylvania, people come from have lived in Columbia and loved the program, the plays, and they move to Florida and they come back for vacation.
Wow. What year did you say it started?
1979.
Wow. That's
I was in Ocean City last weekend and was stopped in Ocean City because somebody recognized me from
really?
The show. Yes.
Wow.
We have about 100,000 customers a year.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's so
there's
awesome.
Many people that go in and out of our doors.
That is so cool. And it's awesome that you get those repeat customers. Yes. So not only is it family from serving them, it's family from serving them years ago probably, and now they're back for another.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into hairspray. It's perfect to come to, you know, the Baltimore area, Columbia, right. Because it's, you know, it's originally set there. Good morning, Baltimore, right?
Absolutely.
Remind me if I'm mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that unlike a lot of musicals that become movies, this one started as a film, the John
right.
Waters movie.
Right.
80s, right? With Ricky Lake and all that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Talk about the first time you saw the film and then when you first encountered the musical.
Oh,
why don't
wow.
you take that since
I will. Well, I was a fan of John Waters films anyway. And so when he had the new one coming out of Hairspray, I went right away. I loved it. It just has a certain flavor and it's kind of I'm home. You
yeah.
know, you'd still recognize Baltimore in this show, and it's just kind of special doing it here.
Do you know if John Waters has ever snuck into one of the shows?
I'm not,
not to
quite
my
sure.
knowledge.
I'm not quite
in a disguise.
but our claim to fame, of course, is that one of the women that makes our costumes went to Patterson Park High School.
Wow.
She actually went in the late 50s. Mm. So she's actually almost in the time period that this takes place.
So this is the real deal.
This is the real deal. And we know many of our customers come in and they start talking with that accent. I go, oh, you're part of Hairspray. Come on, be in the car.
That's so cool. All right. So and then talk about what I mean, as sort of classic as the John Waters movie was, talk about how the musical, I believe it was like 2002, it won the Tony for Best Musical.
You've done your homework.
Right? Like, I would hope so. Right?
You get a raise.
Free food at the buffet. No, I'm just kidding. So talk about how that sort of just shot this into the stratosphere. I mean, you can't stop the beat, so it's even better as a musical.
Well, it's just so wonderful that, you know, they were able to incorporate the music and the feel of the 60s and the dialogue and the characters and the situations are put in. It's just wonderful, fun Baltimore 60s, you know, excitement.
Yeah. What about that time period, Baltimore in the 60s, makes it such a fascinating era?
Well, it was such a melting pot. You know, you had
true.
You know, your African Americans, you had your, you know, Caucasians, you had your Jewish, you had your, and they were all segregated into these different communities. Yeah. But living in the same city. And, you know, when you have that many different components and you push them together, there's going to be conflict. And I think that it shows the problems that occur sometimes in that and the misunderstandings and hopefully a resolve in the end. We're still waiting for that resolve, though, I'm afraid.
We also have the introduction of all the black groups in music.
Ah,
and of black music becoming very, very popular. Mm-hmm. And all the young kids wanting to be part of that.
Right, because the 60s was Temptations.
There's
and
that,
all, yeah.
that beat, that wonderful beat that these kids were bringing to music. Now, I grew up in New York, and I went to high school of performing arts, and so I was always with African-American kids who were wonderful dancers, and I didn't know from racial prejudices. But here,
you,
it
yeah.
existed, yeah. And everybody was fighting. And, of course, we all know what happened in the 60s when it came to a head. And, you know, unfortunately, we just did Ragtime recently at the theater, and the same issues exist today. That existed in Ragtime, that existed at that time, and someday as a country we'll look at each other and say, it's enough.
And I can't almost look back and be like, I can't believe that was even a thing. Like
right.
we'll look back and say, how is that even
possible? How did that happen and why?
Oh, I hope so.
But
we're all idealists.
It's just so funny, you know, Hairspray is such, you know, you think of it as light and upbeat and everything, but the message
is wonderful.
Is so wonderful, and it's there. And like Ragtime, I play that's taken place 100 years ago and that we still have the same issues today. We go so far, but we never let ourselves go completely.
And Memphis. We did Memphis right. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That music was wonderful. And we have a live orchestra. And we have singers that I will put against any Broadway performer. And he's just wonderful. You, I invite you to come out and see the show.
I'm going to. No doubt about it.
I will put us against any show anywhere.
You hear that? Toby's throwing
any show, anywhere, our quality.
I don't doubt it at all. Before we go into some more of that stuff, let's pretend one of our listeners has been living under a rock and has never seen Hairspray. Go into, explain what it's about.
Well, it's shown through the life of Edna Turnblatt. No, I'm kidding. It's actually shown through Tracy Turnblatt, who has no blinders on. She's just wide-eyed and accepts everyone for who they are. And
clean slate.
Clean slate. And is just, if we could all be this way, it would be an amazing thing. She goes with the times. She has big hair, which wasn't so popular. You know, it was becoming popular, but she was on the cutting edge.
And hence the title.
She was just, exactly. And so she was just always striving for more and just excitement for life. And she gets put into that, you know, where she has to conform to, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to be this way. Well, she didn't want to be that way. She wanted to, you know, listen to the music of the times and everything. And so it's her journey of fighting against the man, I guess, you know. She has trouble with school. You know, she's put into special ed because she doesn't, you know, fit in.
Well, right. she hangs around with black kids.
Right.
And she believes in segregation.
Watches, at that point, I know in New York we were watching Dick Clark, and who was it in Baltimore? They were watching
Dean. Buddy Dean.
Buddy Dean.
Okay.
All
those
dance shows. And they were dance shows that were either white dance shows or black dance shows. And she would look at them and say, I want to be on that show. Right. And I won't tell you how she gets on it, but she does. And when they say, what do you want? She says, I want this show to be integrated.
Yes.
Now, that's was a horrible thing for a teenager to say.
And it's crazy to think now, Carrie Underwood and Jennifer Hudson on Idol. You know, it seems so whatever.
I mean,
the
producers grab her away and say, you can't say that. Yeah. We will never have a colored child on this show. Well, she fought against it, and basically it turned out great. But it's the story of Edna and Tracy's argument to become part of a whole community.
Yeah. And tell me about your character.
Oh, she's just a good old girl. She takes care of her baby. She's protective. She's loving and caring, but still guarded of the times. And her daughter takes her on a journey where she gets to understand that being big is beautiful and that she can embrace life
and her chubbiness
along with her chubbiness.
And you're just in one in a long line of sort of this, I guess, let's say, gender bending tradition of this role.
Correct. It's always been played by a man. It started with Divine in the original movie, who, when you watch it, you never ever for 1 minute think of the man, because he's honest. And when he plays it so honestly, it becomes her. And from the beginning to end, it's just a mother who cares for her family deeply and is striving to be reborn herself and into this new time of the 60s, this empowering time for not only African Americans, but women, you know, to go into the workforce and everything. It's just an exciting time.
Yeah.
It went from there to Harvey Fierstein, who, I mean, plays her, to the nth degree. He's just amazing.
The character is so much fun.
The character is so much
fun.
If you allow yourself to be the woman.
Right.
And you have a great time.
Right.
You're never a man playing.
Right.
You know, you're
just like
taking
Mary
over.
Mary Martin's never a girl playing Peter Pan. It's just,
right.
It's
that's
the
what
tradition.
We're doing at the
absolutely
theater right now. How did you know that?
I don't know. I just had a hunch.
But absolutely. And it is honestly one of the most fun roles I've ever played in my life. And it's so freeing. And
what about the Travolta one? Wasn't there a John Travolta in the movie?
The
remake movie.
The remake movie of the musical. They put the musical on screen, and he did the role. And then again, you know, he just went into that zone. And you see the mother, you know. It's not a gimmick of this man playing this woman.
It's not Tootsie.
Right. And there are times that, you know, we play up and there's jokes about, you know, her not being, you know, the father. But
And a lot of funny lines.
Oh, there's a lot of funny lines and everything.
A lot of humor. Yeah. But it's a wonderful
script.
But
a lot of heart.
Yeah. Tell us who wrote the book and the music.
Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman.
Okay.
Who I believe both won the Tony.
I think so. It won a bunch. It won like seven or eight.
It was nominated for, I think, 12 or 13.
Yeah, I think 13 and won eight, including Harvey Fierstein for best lead actor in a musical.
There you go. And the rest is history.
Rest is history.
And he's coming back. They're doing a live TV performance.
Oh, that's right.
This year, probably around the holidays. And he has been cast. Exactly. All those.
Peter Pan and.
And Saturday he's coming back to play Edna again.
Wow. So that's a little bit of a homecoming. Yeah. Well, let's go into the music a little bit. Do you have any favorite numbers, either that you do or the rest of the cast?
I think, my favorite is Timeless to Me, mm-hmm. that I get to do with my husband, Wilbur, played by David James. And we're good old friends anyway, so there's that relationship that we can pull from. But it's an old vaudeville number.
Awesome.
And it's just so much fun, especially when you get to do it with someone who you have, you know, a close relationship to anyway. And it just shows this loving relationship between, you know, wife and husband.
Who plays this clean slate main character you're talking about, the wide-eyed innocent? Take me into that actress and what makes her so great.
Chrissy Graham. Okay. First time at the theater, but an interesting story.
Ooh.
I taught at Catholic University where Bill Graham was my boss under Father Hartke. This is probably before you were born. And Bill has five children, and Bill Graham, his oldest son, was the manager of the theater when we opened the theater, and this is Bill's daughter.
Oh, wow.
And several Grahams have performed at the theater, and they're all wonderful actors and actresses just like their mom and dad. And Chrissy is finishing her sophomore year at Catholic University, and this will be the first time on our stage.
Wow, so a local success story.
Local success story, and that's what's so great, because there are so many students from Catholic and other places that get a chance to do really good theater under good direction, good musical direction, good choreography, and ending up with one of my favorite numbers, You Can Feel the Beat, which is everybody being integrated together and just dancing and singing and having a great time, where the audience is on their feet just clapping and they want to join in the dancing. And isn't that what dancing and singing is?
Yeah. You're sent out of the theater just singing and dancing in a good mood.
And a relief from the stress of this crazy world at
and
this
crazy
time.
So
we want to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Who does the choreography?
His name is Mark Minnick. He's also the director of the show.
Oh, okay, cool. What's it like working with him?
Well,
I'm sure he worked with a bunch of different people over the years.
He's one of actually the finest directors and choreographers that I've worked with, because he cares so much about the product and the show and the people in it. He wants them to be the best that they can be. So he guides you and pushes you to be the best you can be. He's not going to accept okay, because if he knows you can do better than okay, mm-hmm. then he's going to get that out of you. If you can do only okay, then he's going to make you the best okay you can be.
Right.
So it's really wonderful.
And you won't be cast again.
And you won't be cast again, no. But again, that being said,
I got to compete with Broadway. You already made the
challenge.
That's
also one of my peers that I grew up with, you know, in the theater world. And we passed off, you know, back and forth. And it's just wonderful to be able to work with someone who is your peer and learn from them.
Let's dive into a little of that, of your personal story of growing up in the theater world. Where'd you grow up? How'd you fall in love with acting?
I grew up in Montgomery County.
Oh, nice.
And I was a competitive figure skater. So I did that all the way.
Where in Montgomery? Where?
In Gaithersburg.
Gaithersburg, all right.
And grew up ice skating. That's all I did. Morning, noon, and night.
Is it Seneca Valley High or what high school?
I went to Gaithersburg High School.
Gaithersburg High School, okay.
And then I would skate at Lake Forest, Cabin John, Fairfax, and then Wilmington, Delaware on the weekends. So it was all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. I was doing a college show at Montgomery College, and another actress was doing a swing position, which is someone who's not in the show. They just fill in when needed. At Toby's Dinner Theater, they were doing 42nd Street in 1988. And she was like, you know, they need another male. Why don't you come out? And I was like, I don't know how to tap dance.
Yeah.
But she was like, well, come out anyways.
Busby Berkeley on skates.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, it's an arena. It's an arena. I'm all over it.
Well,
but, you know,
ice skating's in the rounds, so you're used to it.
I'm used to facing other directions.
Right.
So I went, and they were in the middle of rehearsal, and Toby stopped everything and took a break, and everyone sat down in a section, and she auditioned me while everybody watched. Well, I thought I was going to die because I've never auditioned for anything like that before. Mm. So there I am singing at the piano.
What were you singing?
I believe I sang Close Every Door to Me.
Okay.
Because I sang
How
in
ironic.
Church. I had sang in a church.
Yeah, okay.
So I believe that's what I had sung. And then came the dance audition. And the choreographer, Alona Cassell, dear friend, stood up and she taught me a couple steps. I didn't know how to tap dance. The only tap dancing I'd done was the night before in my basement. I had a friend come over and try to teach me a couple steps. So she did it. And I remember her looking at Toby and said, I'll teach him. Wow. I think they were desperate.
Well, wait, so we did the jazz combination first, didn't we?
Well, we did. No, I had no jazz combination. It was all tap because you were getting ready to do We're in the Money.
Okay.
So then Toby comes over and goes, well, why don't you stay and kind of learn what's going on and we'll see, you know, how it goes. So I stayed and then they told me, well, why don't you come back at the next rehearsal? And we'll just, you know, take it from there. So I came back the next rehearsal and the next one. I don't think I ever got hired for the show. I ended up doing it, but I don't think I was actually ever hired. I just kept coming back.
I remember when you did that big leap pirouette in the air.
It was an
Alona
illusion
said,
thing. Yeah.
Alona says, he's perfect for the thief in the ballet. So we went, okay.
That's wild to me that you remember the details
Well, we've had many years together
Larry's also a very good director.
Awesome.
And a wonderful costumer.
I asked his backstory. Toby, you said you grew up in New York. How did you fall in love with theater?
Well, it's a big, long story. I graduated. I'll make it very short.
Okay.
I graduated from Columbia University with a split degree in education and theater. And at that time, Eleanor Roosevelt was putting in a new program in the Harlem schools. She felt that children in the Harlem schools were not learning because they were being taught by middle and upper class Caucasian kids. And she wanted them taught through the arts. She had this idea of arts integration. And
A
new deal for theater and teaching, which now they're discovering again 55 years later. It's crazy to me. Anyway, I went in and I was hired. And I went into the school system, and it was very tough. It was very tough. The kids were very rough, and I didn't know how to handle them. And finally, I won them over. The story is long, but this program is short, so I'll just tell you, I won them over. And when I left the school, and the teaching was wonderfully successful, the kids scored high. Every kid came in every day. We did Peter Pan with 200 kids from the school. When I left the school, the kids kept giving me notes that said, please don't leave, we need you. And I vowed I would spend my life teaching through the arts.
Wow.
And I was lucky that those dreams came through.
We're all
I
lucky,
opened my school.
Like, yeah. How'd you make it down here to Maryland? How
my
did
husband, I got married, my husband was offered a job.
Okay.
And then I started teaching at a private school, and then I opened my own school, and Jim Rouse was building Columbia, and he wanted me to come to Columbia to work with kids. We became very close and friendly. The school was doing wonderful. I put a group together called the Young Columbians. As a matter of fact, we were at the TOP during the bicentennial. They became the hit of the bicentennial.
Really?
Year.
We're talking in 76?
75. We were at the White House. Carter brought us in for his first state dinner.
And you came to WTOP way back in the 70s.
In Washington. I have a video.
Wow.
WDOT.
If we could throw that on YouTube, that would be awesome.
I'm going through my tapes now, and I know I have that tape.
That would be so cool if we could find that.
It was 75 or 76. We also did the Bicentennial Parade that year, but we toured all over the country.
Oh, wow.
And then I opened my own theater and still have the school. The school opened in 72. The theater opened in 79.
What was the name of the school?
Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts.
That opened in
72. CCTA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then 7 years later in 79, mm-hmm. take me into...
We opened the theater.
Take me into when you decided to open Toby's. How did that you come to that?
You know, life is funny. You know, you have to follow the path, even though it's called into the woods. You go into the woods, and sometimes the paths are scary. The Young Columbians, they asked me to, I did a show for the Restaurant Association, the Hotel Motel Association, and the owner of 1776 in Williamsburg was there and said, I want your group to be performing at my hotel all summer in Williamsburg. And I said, I can't. They're performing and I have bookings all over. He says, can't you form another group? So because I was a Catholic, I was able to tap in because I used to do the USO shows.
Oh, okay.
So I put together another troupe. They went there. The people that did his food service had... It's a crazy story.
I love it.
Had an accountant that owned a dinner theater in Columbia and wanted out. Now, here I am in Williamsburg with people I never knew before. I was working with the first summer, and their accountant owns the theater in my backyard, a theater I never went into because they did sex farces and did not have a great reputation.
Right.
And I said, I don't have money. You know, I have two kids going into college. I said, don't worry about money. We just want your talent. And so they really put up all, I went there and I went, oh, this is ugly. They went, $100,000, we'll fix it up. Yeah. And they did. And so we went into a partnership and 6 years later we bought them out.
Wow.
It's a wonderful story.
Obviously, we could talk hours probably of all the different shows you've done, but do you have any highlights over the decades of ones that really stood out as some of your favorite productions at Toby's?
Well, I took a huge leap. And I did Sunday in the Park with George, and I had the original costumes that I still have some of them. And the producer and the general manager of that show on Broadway came down to see it and said, next to Mandy Patinkin, the George we had was the finest George he'd ever seen.
Wow.
And to do Sunday in the Park in the round was a very, very difficult thing. I mean, and there were so many. I mean, how do you compare? It's like you're saying... Compare your first child,
your
third child.
Yeah. I'm not asking favorites, but just a couple of memorable dots along the timeline. Mm-hmm. All right, Sunday in the Park, that was one. And, of course, Hairspray.
Definitely. Color Purple, Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
I like Ragtime. I mean, I like the meaty musicals.
Right. What else is coming up on the slate? You have Hairspray is the next big one, and then what else?
Sister Act.
Oh, wow.
And Christmas Carol. And then we're doing Showboat.
Oh, wow.
And then next year's season, subscribers and future customers, stay tuned. Some exciting shows coming up.
Talk about a tease. I like it.
I'm not allowed to utter their names.
You'll just have to check back.
Well, you know, musicals has changed, you know, from the time that Showboat and all those, mm-hmm. they're really adapting a lot of films.
Yeah.
Like Hairspray is one of them. Sister Act.
Yeah.
Being adapted
from
the film.
We're in a golden age of musicals,
right.
Don't you think?
Oh, and you know, we did South Pacific last year.
Right.
It was a wonderful production of South Pacific. And I can't tell you how many cards I get from people that say, can you bring back one of the golden oldies in your season? You know, and so we were very fortunate to get Showboat, which is certainly the first American musical.
It was like in the 30s movie. Was it Ava Gardner, maybe? Yeah.
That was the first musical to integrate the story and music together, so it made sense. It wasn't just sing a song, you know. So we're very excited about what we're doing.
It's so cool. Talk about how Toby's, and specifically this Hairspray show, is a great time that, you know, that you could bring, you know, family to.
Absolutely.
Larry? Absolutely. It's one of the wonderful things about being in the round is the intimacy. You can't help but be in the show when you're sitting, you know, the furthest seat is 30 feet from the stage.
Right.
And
your waiter's the star.
Exactly. And the kids can't believe that. Yeah. It's amazing from the time that, you know, you're in your tie and your white shirt and your apron and you're waiting on them. Right. And they don't quite grasp it. And then you come out, and the next time they see their waitress, she has a wig on and eyelashes and
it's
makeup.
Like magic.
Yeah. It is magic.
It is.
When I come out at intermission, I look a lot different.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We're doing Peter Pan now. Mm-hmm. And so opening night of Peter Pan, I looked around, and there were all these adults and little children. I'm talking about 3-4 years old. and the little boy behind me was kicking me during dinner. You know, he was just knocking his. Right. And I said to my husband, oh, this is going to be a disaster. I mean, I would say that there must have been 100 little kids, right, be under five.
All kicking your chair.
Well, kicking and going and one going. The lights went out. I'm scared. Right. I'm scared. Right. The lights came up, and I swear to you, they sat there with their eyes so wide open, didn't move a muscle. And that's the way it's been since the beginning. Wow. And what I'm hearing from parents, from grandparents is, please do more of these shows. What a wonderful opportunity it is to bring the whole family to spend a long afternoon. The kids eat, they see the show, they get to meet the actors, mm-hmm, and it's a wonderful experience. Because
good.
I was going to say, because today most parents are both working.
Yeah.
And, you know, when does everybody get together? And what do you talk about? What's the commonality of dialogue during dinner time or, you know, when you're driving in the car? Well, now it's discussing the play,
yeah,
and what the kids just have seen. And so all these things play into when we're looking at our season.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like an awesome cultural experience
it
for
is.
A kid and family to have.
And we must keep live theater alive.
Well, if it's going to be live, it's got to be alive, right?
It's got to be live, right.
What are we talking about? Give me some of the particulars, you know, in terms of like what it costs to do the dinner, you know, the tickets and everything.
Tickets, I think, are $51 for adults, and that's for dinner and a show.
Okay. What about for kids?
I think it's... I'm not sure.
We'll throw it up on the website. We'll link to
Look
it.
Look at the website. I think it's halfway.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's different every day.
It's different. And then we do have group discounts as well if you bring a group in.
And special family nights.
We'll link to it on the website in case
I should know all these facts, but I try to keep the real important emotional facts.
We have more important things going on out there. We mentioned how it's an enriching experience for a family, but talk about maybe if you're just adults, like let's say a date night. Why is it awesome as a date night for two young adults? Or an older couple who's got the kids out of, you know, they're finally having a night out.
Why did you point at me when you said older?
No, he pointed at
there in the studio.
He pointed at you when he said young adults.
Oh, okay.
There you go. See? Toby with the save. I owe you.
It's a wonderful experience. You get to come in. It's a great date night, even if it's an early date night, mm-hmm, because you get to have conversation. And then you kind of watch the show, and then you can come back to conversation. But you have dinner, you have wine. You're not traveling, and
takes the pressure off a little bit.
One evening, you're all right there. Yeah, it's great.
I love it.
Makes for a great date night.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Is there anything else we're leaving out? We've got a good half hour plus on this. I love it. All right. Well, we've sort of covered a lot here. So just to sort of summarize for everybody, what's the final, you know, pitch on getting to come out? You know, the final summary of all of this.
You're going to come out. You're going to see a great storyline of a young lady's journey and through dance and singing of the period of the 60s. It's a good time. It's bright. It's colorful. It's for the entire family. You're going to have a great time to come on out.
Awesome. Guys, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you.
This is really great. And, you know, hopefully let's make, as I said in Casablanca, beginning of a beautiful friendship here. I'd love to cover more of your stuff.
Why don't you come out? Give us a call and come out.
I'm going to. I got the hairspray ready.
All right.
Thanks so much, Toby.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.